go. Segment one on a Wednesday, talking some Michigan football. Former Wolverine Jim Scarcelli. He's here on Wednesdays, football season, Mondays. Other selected times, he's here now, ready to go. Scar, how you doing? How you feeling?
Fired up, Denny. Talking about our national champion, Michigan Wolverines. National champions. And let me tell you, the cupboard ain't bare. The defense is going to be every bit as good. I said it. I'm going to keep saying it. And we got some darn good offensive linemen that are just ready and waiting. The cupboard ain't bare.
All right. Well, let's start there. Cupboard isn't bare. We're going to show some Ohio State practice film. You have some points that you wanted to make on Sharon Moore. You want to look at this Michigan mindset heading into this upcoming season in 2024. But let's start the Michigan. What makes you so bullish on Michigan as you sit here thinking about defending their national championship? How about we start there?
Just listening to the feedback. You know, Denny, I'm going to tell you something that is important, and I really believe this because, you know, players know who can play just as well as the coaches do because you're there every day in practice. You see your teammate when he's doing something good. You see when he's doing something bad. The coaches look at every play. Every play is analyzed on film. Your teammates know every bit as much as you do and the coaches. No one is fooling anybody on a football team because the eye in the sky don't lie every day in practice. So when Big Zach Zinner stands up there and says that he's got a lot of faith in Big Hinton and Gentry and Percy as our tackles, I'm going to believe him. I think Zinner knows what he's talking about. He says Crippen's ready to go, and he's got faith in Gio and Preeb. You know, those are six off. Okay, we lost six pretty good ones. They were all at the combine. But Zinner's been watching those guys. He's been seeing them develop and compete. You know, there was one time he was a sophomore starter. Somebody had to throw him in there. So I like what I heard from Zinner. So I'm believing what the players have to say. McGregor was high on TJ Guy and Bennett. We've seen Bennett. He played real well in the spring game. And he's high in Eno Edo. You know, again, these guys aren't going to lie. They're seeing it, and they're seeing the same things. There was a time people had doubts about McGregor, doubts about, you know, a lot of these guys. And then Sanistrol was high on Waller and Hill, and Wilson was high on Fred Moore. So I'm going to believe the players. Sometimes the coaches are going to be a little more reserved, you know. You don't want to talk about this guy more than that guy just because you don't want to upset this guy. But I just hearing those players talk, it gives me more and more. It's just reconfirming my already high level of confidence that we're going to just reload.
Yeah, I feel real good about Michigan's defense. The offense, I'm not the, you know, you got to sit here. Everybody's going to take a wait and see approach. But, you know, the quarterback is a question mark. And so, you know, I would say that the entire offense is a question mark, and they have a very brutal schedule. But, you know, they get a couple of those games at home. But the thing is, they've got a 12-team playoff. If you told me that they could – that they – would you take two losses in making the college football playoff right now, I would sign up for that here today. So, you know, two losses, that's – you know, I'm not saying that they're going to have – three losses, but two to three, I think that's taking a look at it as we sit here right now, knowing about what they have to replace and the kind of schedule that they have. I think that's appropriate. At least that's how I see it.
Yeah, you know, Denny, as long as every year I was at Michigan and every team I've ever played on or coached, the objective was to win your league championship, win the Big Ten championship. Yeah. So I don't know, you know, and then obviously, you know, we would write our goals down, and I'm sure Jim and Sharon Moore, they're going to, you know, they had Big Ten. Let's win the Big Ten championship. I don't know if that was the number one goal or win the national championship was the number one goal. But you write them on a board. You talk about it as a team. You put it on the board. If I winning a Big Ten championship is number one for me, if I'm coaching Michigan, winning the Big Ten, because everything else falls in the line there. If we stumble against Texas, you know, so what? Win the Big Ten championship, everything's going to play out. win the Big Ten championship. That would be my number one goal. And, you know, and obviously, you know, Jim had it, beat our rivals, but, you know, that's how I would, that's where I would direct the goal, win the Big Ten championship.
Yeah, if you're putting out, like, if you're a fan, you say the goal should be winning the national championship, Scar, and then everything else falls into place, which, you know, that's a fine argument. Should Michigan fans be looking at it and saying, yes, winning the national championship is the goal. Anything else is like a failure. And I don't think this upcoming year, that would be the way to look at it. But winning the Big Ten, you know, that's possible. And if you do win the Big Ten, you are getting into that 12-team college football playoff. And then if you get into the playoff, I do think that anything can happen, you know, if you're in the playoff and, you know, win a couple games. So that's not a bad goal. I'm following it. I feel it.
18 teams, Denny, going to be in the Big Ten next year. Really good ones. So winning the Big Ten championship, putting a ring on that finger. You know, I got one. I wish I had more. Those guys got three in a row. And that's something. Anyway, that's where I am on that. And that's a hell of a goal. And it's a tough goal. And we, you know, I firmly believe we can do it.
Let's see. Some people have put their goals on the screen. Farrah says, one is to beat MSU. Two is to beat OSU. Three is to win the Big Ten. Four is to win the national title. So, and that was, I think, close to what Harbaugh put up as his goals.
Those are great. You know, Ferris, those are so – that's about where I would be too, because we want to crush Michigan State. We want to own our state in recruiting. So we got to – and we got to beat the Buckeyes for Midwest recruiting. And because we know it's going to – you know, we nothing's happening if we don't beat them. You know, they're not going to slip up. So, yeah, those are great. Those are four great goals. That's about where I would zero in on too.
Fun to talk about. You go back to 2021 and Michigan was not able to fulfill that goal in beating Michigan State. And yet they got into the college football playoff. And then in 2022, if you looked at it from an Ohio State standpoint, Ohio State was not able to beat Michigan, but then they made the college football playoff and they were that shanked kick away at the strike of midnight of getting into the championship game where they would have been able to play TCU. So they're, you know, those goals that beat Michigan State and Ohio State are nice. You might have to play Ohio State twice. So I, you know, getting into the college football playoff, that's, if I'm going to boil it down, yeah, there you can put a lot of different goals on there. I'm saying get to the college football playoff. That's my goal. I like all those other things. I like to win all the games, win the national championship. But I think get to the college football playoff. There's 12 teams in there. Get to it. I'll feel pretty good if they do that.
Okay, let's just keep getting better. We got a lot to lot to improve on. Let's just get through spring and get better, man. Let's win today. Jim always talked about win today, baby.
Well, what's the mindset, Scar? Go there. What are you thinking about?
I think, you know, we've got a new coach. The players have a new coach. The defensive players have all new defensive coaches. So they haven't really been coaching up, getting coached up. Coaches are out recruiting. Players are in the weight room. Players are running. They haven't really been dealing with the coaches yet, and they're gonna meet with the coaches here pretty soon when spring football starts. I think it starts maybe like 2 weeks. 2 weeks. And, you know, it's one thing, you've got the new coach and all this, and it hasn't really sunk in, Denny, I think, until they go and they start having their meetings, the first team meeting, and Jim Harbaugh's gone. And now you're going to be – and Sherrone Moore is going to set the tone at every meeting. You know, they're going to get a feel for his personality, his sense of humor. He's going to start every meeting. He'll be the guy up there. He'll end every practice, you know. So those are things as a head coach. You know, when I first became a head coach, you got to think about what you're going to say before every practice. You don't just go out there and just, you know, you think about it. What am I going to say at the end of practice? What's my pregame speech going to be? What's my postgame? Anyway, you got to think about all that stuff. But the mindset, Denny, is what I'm thinking, like, okay, we've won three championships in a row. people say the cupboard's bare. You know, the meat, some of this media stuff, you can feed on it as a player, as a team, as a player a little bit. You know, it can help. Not that you need more motivation, you know, to play and start for Michigan in front of 100,000, play on that. You know, there's a lot of motivation there for a lot of these players to finally get, you know, in there and be a player for Michigan. But
well, Scar, anybody, whether they were local or national, whether they were a fan or in the media that said the cupboard was bare, I would put the stupid tack on them. Now, if you want to say that Michigan has to replace their whole offense and they have to replace their head coach and they've got a murderous schedule, those things are, that is somebody that's taking a look at the team and making a point, and it's a fair point. But saying that the cupboard is bare is stupid.
Well, I know, but there's people, there's that, you know, there are people in the media that are saying that. I sure as hell aren't. But some of those things can lead and help. Again, not that they need a whole lot of motivation, you know, but there's that, coaches will use some of these things, you know, hey, they know they're disrespecting you, man. We lost everybody. We got nothing. No one to replace JJ. No one to replace Zinner. We got no one that can step up, you know, and replace Junior, you know, so there's going to be a little bit of pissed off, a little disrespect, but I think our kids are going to be confident. Our coaches are going to instill that confidence. And at the same time, Denny, these kids want to get on the field. So they're as much as a player who's on our roster right now is a team guy, wants to help Michigan win. More than anything, though, they have individual self-driven motivation to become a starter, or to, if they're not in the depth chart, to become a second string kid. All of them want to move up the depth chart more than anything. So that motivation is there. And, you know, so Sharon's just got to, you know, bring it all together, man. So I think our mindset is a lot of those things going on, maybe a little pissed off, but the underlying driving motivation is for these guys that want to get on the field and prove that they're ready to go. A guy like Gio, you know, a guy like Preeb now playing for Michigan, Hinton, they've been doubting Hinton now for 4 or 5 years, 4 or 5-star kid, you know, and now Gentry, big time recruit, you know, what have you done? Well, he's going to get a shot now, you know, Loveland. Okay. Now you're the big guy. You're the third year guy. You got to block, you got to catch, you know, and Donovan, I mean, everybody has motivation on that football team.
Yeah, and you know, my mindset is one of joy of this this off season, and then I hear everything you're saying about the question marks and what people would say nationally. I could tell you this, that if Michigan goes out, the one of the most anticipated matchups of the entire college football season is going to take place at Michigan Stadium on September the 7th. That's when Michigan hosts Texas. If Michigan goes out there and beats Texas, that swing's going to go way to the other side. All those people that were saying all this, all of a sudden it's like Michigan, they're ready to defend their title, all of that. So I like having a game number two right there, because all this stuff, Michigan's any good, they got to replace all that. They can answer this question almost immediately, and I like that. From that standpoint, I like it. I know a lot of other people would just like, you know, Twinkle's Toes, you and all that and everything else. So, but huck a buck, but no, they're going to have to play Texas in game number two. So they got to be ready to go.
Yeah. Bo used to say Notre Dame, he liked having them, you know, right away. Cause it let him know where he was as a team, man.
He was right about that. Bo was right about that.
Yeah. But anyway, Sharon Moore, one of the things he's going to have to do for the first time is he's going to be the guy after practice to say whether we were any good or not, or we were bad. You know what I mean? And it's your voice, it's your vision. So that's that. Just wanted to point that out, but I'm, you know. Anyway, Denny, I got on my notes here. You know a job that's one of the toughest in the Big Ten?
UCLA. It's one of the go ahead.
UCLA is one of the toughest jobs in the Big Ten. I just think it is. Chip Kelly left for a reason. I've been on that campus. The Rose Bowl is about an hour drive from campus. You know, they get 30,000 people at their game. That is one place when we go play there, it's not a huge home field advantage. I guarantee you, when Michigan plays their first road game at UCLA, we'll have just as many fans there as them. They just don't have a great following. It's a tough job, tough place to win. And I just wanted to point that out.
Yeah, it's weird. I've never been on that campus myself, but I've heard that it's just beautiful. And it's Southern California. And yeah, you can't do anything about it. You got to bus your students over to the stadium. But, you know, it's such a great setting that you would think maybe it's the powder blue, you know, you kind of feel soft. I wonder if Harbaugh is going to change that up there. Like his team there, you know, they just look soft in those Charger blues and the UCLA Bruins.
I mean, they had good teams in my era, but I just think Oregon goes in there and recruits. Everybody's going into Los Angeles and recruiting.
Sure.
And they're just doing a great job of keeping them. Danny, another thing I just wanted to applaud Braylon Edwards, anybody in the Metro Detroit area. It was national news. He helped some 80-year-old man, protected him. The guy was getting beat up by a young kid at the gym, and I just wanted to give a shout-out to a fellow Wolverine, Braylon Edwards, for really possibly saving an old man's life. It was in all the national papers, so that's good to see a Michigan guy doing something good out there.
Like positive stuff. Scar, Papa has put a question up for you. And it's about your – I didn't remember it exactly, but now Papa has said it. It would be on tape. Do you recall?
No, I never – no. Promise. I don't know where that came from. Big Antoine was talking about that too. I'll go on record now, firmly, without a doubt, on the record, if Michigan wins a Big Ten championship – coming up this year, I'll bring it back. Okay, old school. I'll bring the mustache back, no question. We've got to win a championship, Big Ten championship in 24.
Okay.
So that's that. Denny, another little note on a little note here. I don't think it does, but does having our basketball team struggle, you think it affects recruiting at all? I don't think it does.
Affects Michigan football recruiting?
Yeah, affects football recruiting.
No.
Yeah, I didn't think so either. Some people try to make that correlation. I never felt that when I was getting recruited. Michigan was really bad when I was getting recruited, and I know some people do. I just wanted to bring it up.
I always thought that having a really good it wouldn't hurt. Like if the basketball team was really good, that could help the football team and vice versa. But there's really no, I don't think there's any correlation between the two at all.
Yeah. Hey, Danny, another thing I wanted to cover. I know you guys covered the combine real good. I'm just, again, speaking as a former player, something that I was really impressed with was how well our players did, even throughout the whole year, speaking in public. I thought our guys were outstanding, getting on that podium and talking and sounding great, sounding intelligent, sounding like team guys, and I firmly believe that wasn't by accident. I believe that Jim did things, puts those guys in a position to be prepared to speak publicly. I was impressed with it. And I know that I just don't believe it was just, we just threw guys up there. I think I tried to develop my players to be able to speak and give interviews and talk about doing the right things as a coach. And I just wanted to point it out because I was really – I think it helps them. I think it helps our guys get drafted too. You go up there – and I bet Jim understands that. You go up there and you sound intelligent and you sound like a team guy and you're talking about all the right things. I guarantee you that those things were coached up.
Yeah, they are. I'll go back. They won the national championship, but as representatives and listening to these guys, as to your point, talking, those guys are all amazing. Now, guys, high school and especially college players, it is so much different than it was 20, 30 years ago. I can recall going down to a Michigan practice. They would bring the freshmen in a couple days before in the summer before practice would start. They'd let you talk to them, and these freshmen, like these guys, had never even seen a microphone before. They couldn't put two words together. They were scared. these guys now, you know, they got cameras, everything. You know, they're so good. They're so media savvy. And, yeah. you know, their ability to talk. There's a Mike Sainra still, it doesn't matter. I think he is going to make it in the pros. Wouldn't surprise me if he played 10, 15 years. But he sounds like he could do anything. He could be a chairman of the board for anybody. He could be a general manager in the NFL. He's just you listen to him for 1 minute and you're like, that guy has got it. And Blake Corum.
Danny, all of them. I didn't see one guy. I didn't hear one guy that I was like, wow. Now, maybe it's the new wave. These guys are born in a different era. Just like you said, I was one of them young freshmen that, you know, sounded like a clown. You know, if you put a microphone in front of me when I was an 18-year-old kid, I was lost, clueless. These guys, maybe it's, you know, they're online, they're doing things, and they're in that world. But I think part of it may be Jim putting those kids in positions, practicing it. I would, if I'm a head college coach, I want to get my guys ready for the media. You know, Bo wasn't big on putting all the players on the team at press conferences. He only had a select few guys that he would allow to do that, you know, for whatever those were. That was his philosophy on that. But anyway, impressed with our guys. I think it can only help their pocketbook when they go there and they sound intelligent. Team guys talking about the right things.
I agree with you on that. I think you're right on top of it. You ready to watch this, some of this video?
Yeah, we'll take a look. I mean, it was put online. It was put on Twitter by somebody. You know, you got to wonder who would put this online? Was he a guy that was invited to Ohio State's practice, Denny? And illegally was recording something. I can't believe Ryan Day and those guys would be happy about that. You know, this is why when I go to practices, you know, I've been going to Michigan practices since, you know, I was recruited in 1980, and there wasn't as much security back then. And now it's like, it's really, you know, real difficult to get in there. And because of the cameras and the phones, and they got to check these guys and, you know, you don't know what kind of, who's doing what. So
yeah, Michigan's a little bit different than almost every other entity out there, in their phobia and the way that they deal with the media and how what they, you know, feel like that they're, you know, putting out there in practice and everything else. It's a little bit towards the maniacal side, but what happens almost at every other place when you're in the media, they allow you to come to practice. And what's going on at practice when the media is allowed in there? They're stretching. They might do some different team drills. And then they might, you know, show some guys just throwing the football a little bit, running some routes. But when they start getting into the periods where it's like 7-on-7, they kick the media out. Every school does this. Every football team that I've ever been around, except Michigan, they don't do it. So my guess is that, like, this is not some guy that just had a camera in his shirt and was over here. You're allowed, when it's the open practice, to go ahead and film it everywhere except Michigan. So,
okay, Denny, I respectfully, until you can tell me that you've tried to get into an Oregon, Iowa, Michigan State, Alabama, LSU, Notre Dame practice, until you can tell me that, I don't, because I've been to some of those places. Okay,
I'm telling you, Scar,
I've been to some of those places, and they're like Fort Knox. They're like Fort Knox too, man.
No, they're not. They let their media go to almost every practice.
They let you watch stretching.
Right.
You know, great.
It's just practice, right.
Well, that's nothing. They let you watch.
Well, it's nothing, but for fans, be able to just see the guys out there. What Michigan does is they bring their own people in there. They'll shoot some film, then they put like a minute highlight reel out, and everybody's, hey, Michigan doesn't, that's Michigan. Michigan's been doing that. I don't know if it was before Bo, you know, did not have the greatest, dealings with the media. Lloyd Carr, you know, told me, you know, he thought he had a hostile, he did not think that working together with the media, you know, and he learned that from Bo, you know, it was hostility. It was everybody's trying to, you know, find something out. And, you know, so Michigan has, they've always had that.
Yeah.
And you know, you don't get a whole lot. I've been to a million Lions practices. Yeah, you watch some of that stuff in the practice, but you're not finding anything out. Even if you had, you could be over there and be the next Connor Stallions or something and have the video, you're not getting anything out of it. So,
well, you know, Bo worked under Woody. You know, one of Woody's favorite lines, who is they? Who is they? You know, referring to the media, who is they when they're trying to, they are saying this. They, anyway. I just remember Bo at times saying that too. Who's they? Only thing that matters is the people down here at Schembechler Hall.
But well, I got news for Woody and Bo and Uscar. All of these people that are watching this, this and listening to this podcast, and all the people that are interested in college football and go down there, you know who they are? They are serving the people that pay you all the money and that are interested to go down there, and why you can have a football building named after you. If there wasn't this energy and interest in you, that's who they are. I don't know why I have to yell.
You got to win, baby. Danny, if you win, then they're interested, man. If you're not winning, and you know, it's all about keeping the – they got to keep the criminals out of there. They got to keep the shysters, that are pulling their camera out filming they're not supposed to. You know, so yeah. You got to watch for that stuff. Now, it's a different world, man. You know, I go down there, they're looking for – they're checking your camera. They don't want you pulling your phone out, man. Just for the same reason that we're looking at this film here.
And you're right. It's been a few years since I've been at Lions practice, but they do give you a piece of paper at the beginning of the first day of training camp. And I think it says like things like no live tweeting or, you know, no live, video sending it out. You have to wait till afterwards. I mean, there's some guidelines, excuse me, like that. And you are supposed to know, like, there are some times that you do get to actually see some things that are going on at practice, but you're never, and this is one of the things where it crosses from, you know, journalism to what they call fanboys, which most of the people really like, you know, that if you're in the media and you're a big fan of the team, or, you know, simping for the team, which is what the younger people call it. You know, you're not supposed to like be giving out any details. Oh, look at this. This was a formation. You certainly aren't supposed to say anything about a guy, you know, getting injured. So you can have this relationship, but I don't think you have that much anymore. Heck, the last year I was with the Lions. The Lions used to let you walk around all of the practice. And then the last year I was there, they had you quarantined up into just these little metal bleachers, and you had to be roped off, and you couldn't see anything. Yet everybody had binoculars and everything. I'm not coming to these practices anymore. This is garbage.
Anyway, this was interesting, Denny. I mean, we got a look at
some film here. Let's walk through a little bit of it. What we're looking at, some Ohio State quarterbacks throwing.
There's the Brown kid, 33. He's the runner. He played a lot in that bowl game. Average passer at best. They're throwing a deep out from the opposite hash. I mean, that's really, they're just throwing one route.
That wasn't any good.
Danny, is 18 the Klein kid?
You mean the new guy?
Yeah, the transfer from Kansas State.
I'm sorry. I don't know. Sorry about that. I don't know the answer to it. I don't know what number. I would say so. That's the way he looks. I mean, 6'18" looks like he's 6'5", and that's who it looks like.
Yeah.
That Julian Say in there?
Yeah, he's the kid. Number 10 is the kid that I thought was the best high school quarterback. And, you know, Columbus is the last place I wanted to see him end up. I was happy when he signed with Alabama. Pardon?
Sorry about the video. The Will Howard is who.
Yeah, I'm not. You know, he doesn't. I'm not in fear of him. I'm not in fear of any of him. But number 10, right there, throwing the football, is a kid I was thoroughly as a high school senior, and he's now, you know, he's a senior right now in high school. He should be finishing up his senior year, and he's over there in Columbus. Well, number 10 is a hell of an athlete, and he's an accurate athlete.
Here he is, big fella.
Is that Klein 18?
Not Klein, Howard.
Oh, Howard, okay. Howard is 18, okay. That's the guy. Okay, that's the guy who will probably be starting game one. Howard, the kid that from Kansas State. He's a running quarterback. And then there's Aaron Nolan on the other end, the lefty.
He's easy to pick.
Yeah, he's an athlete and he's a good passer, you know, accurate passer. He's a five-star. They got two five-star kids. So the only good thing about that is one of them is going to be leaving, and they're taking reps from each other.
Yeah.
So one of them is eventually going to leave.
Right. You got two five-star. Sorry about leaving the audio up there. Normally I take it down, and that's the reason why. Somebody said it sounded like a toilet flushing.
Well, they're hitting them sleds. That's what that was. The sleds, they were popping.
Oh, yeah. Well, there's it. Well, Columbus, you never know. It is kind of the outhouse, you know, right there. So,
but it was good to get a look at that. But yeah, they've the Buckeye future is quarterbacks that can run.
There's a lot of Michigan fans online that say things like Kansas State didn't want
Howard. Yeah, that was out there a little bit, and hopefully that's true, that they had a young guy. I read that, you know, Danny, I read that, where he was losing some minutes to a young kid. So maybe that's good. You know, yeah, I know 10 is small, but look at the film of that kid. I watched him. Man, he's an impressive kid. He was an athletic, accurate kid. And yeah, he's a small kid now, but he's not going to be get him in the weight room for a year or two. He'll be another 15, 20 pound heavier kid. You know, JJ weighed in almost 220 pounds. JJ McCarthy.
You know, yeah, it was interesting. I saw that there was a on the Mason Blue Review, there was somebody that was saying, "What about these scouts?" And they had a scout from NFL.com saying that, oh, McCarthy didn't have the arm strength, he didn't have the build, and he didn't make enough splash plays. Well, whatever you want to say about him throwing at Indy, he came in, he got bigger, you know, his frame looked fine, and so did his long ball. So, and, you know, splash plays, I don't know what kind of splash plays. I mean, Caleb Williams, like, throwing off his shoe tops or something. McCarthy's got plenty of splash plays. So that was just one writer. But, you know, you read the guys that are, that, like, sometimes it's like a you would think a legitimate website like NFL.com, but, you know, this guy's just throwing stuff out there. But that's where you're at now. And sometimes I can remember last year, after the Ohio State game, there was a guy from CBS Sports who was like, oh, JJ didn't play well in the Ohio State game. And I had to go back. I was like, what's he talking about? Well, JJ was 50% completion against Ohio State. Not this last year, the year they won in Columbus. But that was JJ's. He was fabulous after the first quarter in that game. He played three quarters, and he was amazing. That was the best game that he had played. But if you just look at some, this is what some people do. They just look at the numbers. You can't watch every single game. But, you know, here was a guy making a determination like, yeah, JJ looked at the QBR, looked at the completion percentage. Like, you know, McCarthy's not all of that. And some of that stuff goes and kind of.
Yeah, but Danny, you know, that's a great thing about podcasts is if you don't want to listen to some clown like Pete Feinbaum analyze talent, you can come over here and listen to some wisdom from Denny and Scar and Jerry. We break it down, the real deal. JJ could play. He always could play. Just some clown out there who doesn't know what the hell he's talking about. But, you know, Danny, that's one of my – talking about evaluating talent. Okay, Sharon Moore. I'm kind of moving ahead. There's things that I'm checking off my list. System, everything's staying intact. Number one, great. Sleeping at night because of that. Staff, checked off, hired great coaches. I firmly believe our defensive staff ain't taking a backseat to any staff we've had the last 3 years. We're going to be solid. Offensive staff, solid. Check mark. Kept our players. They're all going to compete this spring. You're going to see some guys leave after the spring because they're not where they are in the pecking order. That would be the only reason they'll leave. But they're there and they're competing. Okay, the only thing that we won't be able to check off Denny for a while is his eye for talent. We looked at those 18 kids that were at the combine. How many of them were three-star kids? Was Sanistro a three-star kid?
I think so.
You know, Jim had to, and that's when, you know, I looked at Kirby Smart. I put it on my, I saw him on Twitter. He talked about so many talents the head coach has to have that you don't think about until you become a head coach. And, you know, he's the guy that has to make a decision on, do we offer this receiver or do we offer that receiver? Do we offer this tackle or that tackle? Because now Michigan is winning. When you're doing real good, a lot of times you end up just selecting, especially if he's an in-state kid. You know, if we choose to offer some of these kids, more likely they're going to come. So you got to make sure you're making the right decision. All right. So, you know, that was the word back in the day when I was getting recruited. Like, Michigan doesn't recruit. They just select. You know, whatever. But anyway, this is what we're all hoping for, that he will demonstrate that. Because, you know, this team right now, the talent, everything, the talent, the recruits, you know, Jim pretty much had the final say on him with the feedback from his staff. But as we move forward, that's the thing that hopefully 3-4 years from now, we'll be looking at some of these kids that he signed that were maybe under, you know, diamonds in the rough, three-star kids, weren't overly recruited, but he saw it. He's got to have that eye for talent that we just won't know the answer for that for a couple of years.
No, I think that's really important, being able to get guys that aren't, you know, the five stars, and being able to get them on the field. The other piece, and they just hired a general manager, and this Sean McGee, who was with Michigan under Harbaugh, and then he went to the Bears for 2 years, and now he's back. He was officially introduced today. How they figure out the part about name, image, and likeness, especially now that the floodgates have been open, but the NCAA last week was like, yeah, we're not even going to look into it. You know, that you can go ahead and do whatever you want, basically, is what that signaled to every college football team out there. Is Michigan keeping the strategy of not talking about getting guaranteed money to the top players? And that is going to really shrink the pool of some of the players that they're going to go after. I think that can, I don't know about it being a legitimate concern, because the Michigan knows that this is something that they have to deal with. Whatever their plan is for it, we're going to see how that.
Danny, I think we're already seeing it. Okay, we didn't have a bunch of guys leave. Josiah Stewart, I guarantee us, Stewart, Moore, I guarantee you they had a lot of money thrown at them.
No, so they've done a good job. That's good, and that is great. That is great. Because, I'm talking about the next thing with recruiting. Are they going to be able to get any top 100 players moving forward now that it's it's legal? Are we going to sit around saying that every team, now that the NCAA says we're not even going to look into it, and every other team that seemed like before was offering the money, and now is Michigan going to say, no, we're still going to
well, you know, we don't know how those conversations are going with recruits.
No, we don't.
When a guy meets with Brian Kelly down at LSU, meets with Sharon Moore, or meets with Lane Kiffin, a top 4 or 5-star kid. When you meet with those three guys, you know, how's the conversation different? That's the question you have, right? You know, you would think that those two shady dudes from the South, you know, what are they coming up with for that 4 or 5-star kid compared to what Michigan? That we don't know the answer to that question.
And I think there's a mindset. You talked mindset earlier. I think the mindset needs to be former players like yourself and fans that are like, we don't want to be like a bunch of dirty rogues, shady. It's not that anymore. It's above board. You can do it. It's not shady to say you can have $1 million to come in here. You just have to decide strategically if that's something you want to do. The stuff about he got the bag, it's legal now. It's all there. Everybody's a free agent, and they're doing it with the players that they have on the team. And they did it last year with guys that were in the transfer portal. I think that they were able to say, look, those guys aren't prospects. That's the different part. I think that was their argument, but they have been reluctant to look at the high school players and say, hey, you know. And so I think fans talking about throwing bags, or you talking about Brian Kelly being shady, it's not like that anymore.
I know. Well, Danny, that's just it. We don't know the answer. I do believe, though, that we are doing something for high school recruits. Now, we don't know the level of it. We don't know the extent of it. But I think it's obvious we've done it to keep our team intact. Because I guarantee, you know, those guys had a lot of money offered. I know it. Okay, I know it. There's a lot of players on our team that had a lot of money offered, and they stuck around because we're you know, somebody came up with something. And then it's just a question of how much resource does Sharon Moore have? I don't know. We don't know how much the alum are kicking in for Michigan's NIL collectives compared to other schools. We don't know the answer to that.
No, that's a good point. We don't really know. Sometimes you see some of these figures.
But he does have a bag that he can distribute. I guarantee you that.
Yeah, I think that if Michigan fans knew that money that they were donating were filling up a bag to go to top recruits, then that kitty would grow enormously. People would be filling that bag up, you know. So being able to connect those dots, you know, Michigan needs to do that with the fans, and people need to get used to it and all that. Things are changing over there. But, yeah, you know, Michigan's not just sitting back doing nothing.
Yeah, but, you know, Ward and the donors, and he's got to look at, you know, the softball team, the volleyball team, the wrestlers. He's got to put it all together. You know, so he's got to deal with all the different people that want a little piece of what Santa's bringing into town, man. They don't want Dennis to get all the gifts, man. You know, Scar's got to get a couple crumbs too, man. So that's the question. We don't know.
But, yeah, I saw today, and I didn't see anybody. They'll probably talk about it. It was just a couple minutes before we came on. Nick Saban was. There was a story about Nick Saban and what basically pushed him. You know, he was thinking about retiring, but it was the Michigan loss, which a lot of people thought it was the Michigan loss that did it. But he was quoted in the story of saying essentially that his players they didn't handle the loss. They were throwing their helmets and, you know, and he said, look, you have to know how to win and you have to know how to lose. And he didn't like how they.
Because he's always had great discipline. You know, Danny, that's a sign of discipline as a coach. And there's, you know, he never had that. And he's been the same type of leader. And he's wondering. And then I did read it too, man. He was talking about how, you know, he met with all his players after. And, you know, he said 80% of the conversations were about, you know, what's my playing time and what's my NIL package. So that's where we're at. And that's where he's at. And,
right, and an old school, not an old school for 2 years ago, you'd say, hey, you have to earn your playing time. We're not – everybody's, you know, today you're competing. Tomorrow you're competing for your spot. The competition is ongoing. And then like, when you think of a player, like, hey, coach, how much of that – how much money am I getting? Keon Sabb just got a Benz. He's a backup up at Michigan. Now he's got a Benz. What kind of playing time am I getting, and where's my Benz?
Let's see.
What are you saying, Scar, to that?
It's a capitalist country, man, Danny. It's America, man. We ain't communist Russia. So it is what it is. Danny, do you have – I wanted to move on to the Ravens-Michigan bloodlines. You got that on your notes there?
Yes, I do. Let's do it. The Ravens-Michigan-Wolverine connection.
I'm going to give a little history lesson because this is Scar's thoughts on – the Ravens defense and the Michigan defense and how they're intertwined and how where we're at actually goes back, in my opinion, over 50 years. Yeah, hear me out.
Okay, I'll hear you out on that.
Okay, so Baltimore Ravens, Ozzie Newsome, brilliant general manager. They won their first Super Bowl with defense, but they were a 4-3 defense. But they always understood the importance of drafting defense. So I'm not going to say that they didn't always know and understand that we went with defense. He understood it then. I mean, Trent Dilfer was the quarterback. They went a Super Bowl with an average quarterback, great deep. But they were a 4-3 team. So John Harbaugh gets the job, okay? And his scheme is different than what they ran under Brian Billick and what the heck was his coordinator? Anyway, they were a 4-3 team. So what I'm getting at, Denny, is the Ravens defense, when I look at what they do, when I look at philosophically what they believe in the structure of their defense, it's a 3-4 base defense like what we ran it when I was playing. Mm-hmm. And it's like what Michigan ran when Jack Harbaugh was coaching. It's the same stuff. Wink Martindale was the defensive coach under Jack Harbaugh at Western Kentucky. Okay, people want to give Wink Martindale credit as the founding father of the Raven defense, in which there might be some truth to that, but you always have to start with the head coach. You know, John Harbaugh approved everything that's going on with that defense, but at the same time, Jack Harbaugh is right there. When you watch the two Harbaugh football teams, their belief system is the same. Great defense, run the power play, you know, run the zone, run the power. The power play is Jack Harbaugh's foundational play. That's what he ran at Western Kentucky. So what I'm doing, Denny, is I'm intermingling this. I'm saying that Jack Harbaugh is really the founding father of the Ravens defense, the way it's been the last 15 years or so. Again, they changed it. They always believed in drafting defense. But Wink Martindale worked under Jack. John knew what he wanted to run. They refined it. They perfected it. They developed a great scheme, a great system. But when I watch that Raven defense or our Michigan defense, it's not much different than what we did 40 years ago when I was playing, and very similar to what Jack was doing when he was coaching the secondary under Bo. So we are tied philosophically. Stop the run, run the ball, run the power, run the gap, run the zone, secure the football. You know, that's that Harbaugh mentality is you know, Jack Harbaugh is their mentor. And he worked under Schembechler. So I wanted to point that out, Denny, that as I look at the Ravens, I look at the Michigan defense, that the structure of it, the belief system and the philosophy, I guess I'm giving old Jack Harbaugh a little credit, because I think that's where a lot of what we do stems from.
Well, you made your case. I wanted to ask you, you know, the Chargers have the fifth pick in the draft next month. And we know Jesse Minter and Klink and Elston, you know, over on the defensive side of the ball. So we know what kind of defense they're, and we know what Harbaugh's philosophy is offensively. Who do you think, what position do you think you get that first pick? Best available.
Denny, I don't know his talent.
Quarterback. What's your guess, though, Scar?
I don't know what kind of talent he has on that team. You know, that's the thing. He's going to try to have to size it up real quick, and what they're paying, and you know, he knows what the salaries are, who they're cutting, and you know, I don't know. Fifth pick. He's got his one thing. Jim knows is he's got his quarterback. That's probably the only guy who has a secure job on that football team. As he knows he has a quarterback. So Denny, I don't know if I can answer it. There's a lot of good players out there, but yeah, he's going to have to look to build the defense to what he believes in. So he's got to have some, maybe the scheme is different than what the other guy ran. I don't know if they were a 4-3 team, but he needs two big edge guys, you know? So sometimes that's a specific type of guy. Scott talking about Jordan Marshall and Brady Prescorn being our breakout freshmen. I firmly think Brady Prescorn is going to have probably an easier chance to play, because I don't know that we have as much athleticism at tight end that he's going to have to compete with. But we've got a lot of really good running backs that Marshall's going to have to compete with. But I agree that he should be able to get on the field. But yeah, I think Prescorn is gonna, I think he's gonna show himself as a guy that can do what Loveland did as a freshman. We could split him out. He's a 6'6 kid. He's a big athletic basketball playing kid. He's gonna be a problem matchup.
I love it. I'm there. I'm thinking, you know, they got Khalil Mack and Derwin James on that defense over there for Harbaugh, but Mack. might cost too much money, so he might be a
So there's all those things with money. And then another thing that would happen this past week that is very important, you know, and it's one of the reasons Wink had to fallen out with the Giants was, you know, he thought he had control of the defense from a personnel standpoint also. Wink with the Giants. And it didn't work out like that. They had a little problem. So, because the guy wanted him to fire one of his
two, I think.
Yeah. But anyway, Wink is bringing one of those guys, Drew Wilkins, one of his analysts, to be one of the analysts here in Ann Arbor. So that's actually a good thing. He was with Wink for like 9 years.
That's right? A nice analyst. If the guy was,
that's a great there. That it'll speed up the learning process of, you know, exactly what everything we want to do. He'll have a guy that is right there, you know, that has been with him. So, you know, that's important. I had my guy with me on defense. I mean, we finished each other's sentences. We knew exactly what we were going to do when we looked at film, and we were right on, you know, same mindset in terms of adjustments and practice and what we needed to work on. And, you know, obviously those other three guys are great coaches, and they'll get a feel for, you know, Wink's thinking and methodology.
So to summarize for people that are just tuning in, Scarfield's pretty good about the Miles Hinton started 5 games for Michigan last year, but all the rest of these guys did not. Preeb started 12 games, the transfer from Northwestern. But then the three other guys, you're going to have three first-time starters on that offensive line, but you feel good about Michigan's offensive line.
Hey, Danny, you got to be a starter at someone, you know, eventually you're going to be on the field. I mean, if you would have saw me as a freshman, you say this guy ain't never going to play. As a sophomore, he's barely improved. As a third year guy, okay, he's kind of decent, but then it started to click going into my third year, that final spring, you know, and I just think that these guys are, they've been waiting there, chomping at the bit, getting better, improving, learning from Zinner, learning from, Ryan Hayes, learning from Corum. You watch these guys, you're stronger in the weight room, man. And, you know, they're ready to go, man. And they just need to get out there and let it rip and get a chance. So
let it rip.
Yeah, I'm confident, man. We've recruited, those are highly recruited kids, Gentry and Hinton. And, you know, we saw Hinton last year. Some people were down on him, maybe a couple mental mistakes, whatever. But he's going to be a better player this year, a year older, year better in the system. So, no, I'm just confident, man, that these because I was there as a player. And you know, I've seen so many guys that were sat around for 3 years, waited their turn. And eventually they had great years, year four, year five. And that's what we're going to have from these guys. Gio's going to have a great year, man.
How are you going to feel if Michigan runs the ball 32 times against Texas, but wins the game? How are you going
to
feel?
Danny, when you're coaching, you don't care what you got to do to win, man. If they are overplaying the pass, then we're going to run. If they're overplaying the run, we're going to pass. If they're not honoring the quarterback, we're going to run our quarterback. If they're honoring the quarterback, but they're not honoring the running back or the whatever, you got to. Then that's what the great play callers do. They see, you know, where's the weakness of your defense, personnel wise. What's the weakness of your scheme? We're gonna find it, man. And we've done a great job of that. Sherrone Moore has done a great job of shifting and motions and you know, reverses and halfback passes and all that kind of stuff. So.
Ferris would take a 3-2 Michigan win over Texas right now.
You're darn right, man. I lost 3-2 one time in a mud pit.
Really?
Yeah. You lost 3-2. Safety, and that guy kicked the field goal at the end. It was a terrible game in a swamp. But, you take what you – you know, you do what you got to do to win, man. And if good coaches understand it, I was impressed with a guy that had the courage to do that. He didn't care about nothing but winning. How'd you like to go in that locker room, you know, it's in having lost, saying you didn't do what you needed to do to win. We got to throw it because the media wants me to throw it.
The media
people want me to throw it. The hell with that. You got to win, man. There were some weaknesses that our coaches saw when we had the 7 offensive linemen in the game against Penn State. There were some flaws in their adjustments. So our coaches are like, why change? If they're not adjusting properly, we're going to keep pounding them with this stuff. If you know, you don't change. There's a lot of coaches that believe in that philosophy, man. You're going to keep running the same play over and over until somebody stops it, man.
Yeah, I just hearken back to 2021 and the non-conference slate. It was halftime of the Washington game. That was a night game, and Michigan was up 10-0. And I was talking with a friend of mine. And I was like, they're dominating. He's like, they're going to lose this game. They got to start opening up. If they don't throw a pass in the first series, I'm going to go down. I mean, he was just livid. And then I looked online, and there was, I would say that the majority of the people were just like my friend. That's all they were doing is complaining about Michigan being up 10-0 on Washington. And that's all they did is run it in the second half. But they ran it right down against 17-0. And then they just kept running it. And it was ground and pound, 56 carries for 343 yards. And there were Michigan fans after this, and they're just not going to be able to continue to do this. This is not how football is played in the 21st century. You can't just line up and bludgeon the other team. Well, that was Michigan's coming out party with how they were going to do things over their incredible 3-year run. It was that Washington night game when it was like people were like, what are we watching here? You're watching Michigan.
Yeah, hey, great offensive teams, great offensive coaches. You're not loyal to anyone but the team. If they're covering your great receivers, then you're going to give it to your running back. If they're doing everything in their power to stop certain running plays, okay, well, guess what? There's a few you're missing, and we're going to kill you with the other ones until you stop them. So.
Okay, some quick hitters here. Mark says Harbaugh was like smart. You only have to win by one. Play the game you're in, not tomorrow morning's paper.
That's right. Who cares about that?
Like that one. Do you see any Desmond Howard in Samaj Morgan?
He's a little bigger. Yeah, he's a great athlete. Desmond was a running back in high school, I think. He great runner with the ball. We could run reverses with him, jet sweep. Yeah, Samaj Moore and Roman Wilson was high on Freddie Moore. So
Samaj was better than Desmond was as a freshman. So,
yeah, I don't know how much we threw the ball then, how much Desmond played as a freshman, but no, we've got some good looking receivers. They recruited good receivers. So yeah, Danny, I'm looking forward. You're going to start practice here in a couple weeks. I'm looking forward to getting down there.
I'm looking forward to you getting down there too. I'm looking forward to Sharon Moore saying, media, come on down. You want to watch some practice? Come on in. Let's go. You want to be down on the sideline?
Yeah. One of our callers just said that, there's a big point. Saban made a big point about Michigan huddling. They didn't anticipate that. It's like it totally changes your whole operation defensively. You're used to signaling in at a certain pace. And Michigan probably figured that there were so many people that had film or had scouted their signaling. They just said the hell with it. And that was a great, that's got nothing to do with recruiting, man. Those are schematic, intelligent leadership decisions, man.
I'll never forget at the SEC media days back in August, Saban was on ESPN and they were asking him about his team and he mentioned Michigan. He said the controlling the line of scrimmage and being able to be physical, it hasn't gone anywhere, but Michigan is shown how important it is. I'm paraphrasing what he had to say, but Saban was pretty aware of what Michigan was doing and how they were playing football. He likes it.
Danny, that's one of the things that I am totally confident that our ability to teach technique and to control the line of scrimmage, yeah, you recruit big, strong, tough kids. You get them big and strong in the weight room, but you got to teach technique. You talked about tush push. Anyone just can't run tush push. It's about technique and how they're teaching it and coaching it. You can't just run the plays we run. You got to, it's about playing with leverage and technique and footwork and all the little things that we've done a great job teaching. And Sherrone Moore was the offensive line coach, you know, with Big Grant now. So we're going to, I'm totally confident the Jerry Hanlon, you know, technique that's been the great offensive coaches, Paul Shadell and Lester Miles and all these great, that tradition is going to continue. It ain't just about recruiting great players, Denny, to dominate the line of scrimmage. You got to have better teachers than the other guy.
All sounds good. I'm looking forward to that mustache on that from USCAR.
Big Ten Championship, baby. That's what we need.
All right, great job.
That, everything else happens, man. So let's beat our two hated rivals and win a Big Ten championship. It's great all job. Good, Danny.
Great job, Scar. Smash that like button.
National champion, Michigan Wolverines, go blue.
There he is, the Scar. Get used to seeing that clean-shaven Scar because he's going to have a mustache coming up in December next year.